You're listening to Financial Insights, a podcast that helps investors through the difficult maze of financial planning and saving for retirement. I'm Brian Ullman, and I'm a financial advisor and certified financial planner at Ford Financial Group. And together with some guests and other advisors at my firm, we're talking about the issues and questions relating to finance that face our clients every day. Okay, welcome back to the podcast. And it's been a little while, but that's okay, because we just had quite a good October. In the past, August and September have been rough months, I would say. This last September was no different, and it's something we've talked about in prior podcasts. We just got done with October. It's the beginning of November now, and we had a great run to kind of rebound from what was a rough September. Halloween just passed, and with Halloween over the last weekend, what better time to talk about what might scare us going forward? I will say that our outlook for markets have been pretty positive as we go into these next couple of months, but markets are fully valued, I would say, and so there might be one or two things that could be the culprit for what could cause markets to be spooked and move backwards. We're talking about a few things here: inflation, an aggressive Federal Reserve, profit margin pressures, seasonal gains being pulled forward, and also potentially overly bullish sentiment. So let's start with number one, which is inflation. Central bankers are slowly acknowledging that inflation may be stickier than expected and that risks continue to tilt to the upside. But at the same time, the baseline view really remains that inflation will settle back towards historical norms over time. How long is that going to take? Well, while inflation has come down some recently, we believe there might be another leg higher in the fourth quarter or early next year as the post-surge reopening actually pushes prices higher in areas where it paused or declined even as economic activity slowed, such as airfares, lodging, used cars, and so on. The consensus expectation of Bloomberg survey economists is that CPI, or inflation, year over year will fall to about 3.3% by the end of 2022 and 2.3% by the end of 2023. Many consumers, though, and you might find this to be the same, are finding that inflation risks are scarier than that, both due to sensitivity to prices in grocery stores and at the pump, and heavy news coverage about inflation. So the wild card here remains how long it's going to take for the supply chain disruptions to sort themselves out. They've been a key source of imbalances between supply and demand, and that's one of the things that's actually pushed prices higher. Also, consider that the secular forces that put downward pressure on inflation for the past several decades, technology, the Amazon effect, demographics, etc., all of those things remain in place. So we will have to see how that affects inflation. Let's go on to number two and talk about a potentially aggressive Federal Reserve. Since March of 2020, the Federal Reserve has supported the economy and financial markets by purchasing $120 billion in U.S. Treasury and mortgage securities each month and keeping short-term interest rates near zero. Now, as the economy continues to recover, the need for continued monetary support really starts to wane. And really, the Fed is expected to fully end its bond buying programs by mid-2022 and start with interest rate hikes. And in our view, this is likely coming in early 2023, but we'll see. It might get pulled forward to 2022. The big wild card here remains how sticky inflation will be throughout 2022. So as I mentioned, I think inflationary pressures will abate over the next 6 to 12 months. However, if inflation is stickier than that, you can anticipate that the Fed is going to be forced to aggressively respond early next year, first by potentially speeding up its tapering plans and then by increasing short-term interest rates. And economic growth is likely going to be negatively impacted by that. So while we expect an orderly withdrawal of monetary support, an aggressive Fed in reaction to sustained inflationary pressures would likely spook financial markets. So that's something that could derail things. Let's talk about the third item, which is profit margin pressure. Third quarter earnings results have been good overall. Companies have generally done an excellent job managing through supply chain disruptions, labor and material shortages, and related cost pressures. But despite a high bar, a solid 82% of the roughly 280 S&P 500 companies that have reported have actually exceeded earnings targets. But there can be some reasons for concern here. Profit margins are well above their pre-pandemic highs and carry downside risk. So with labor in short supply, 10.4 million job openings, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that's about 3 million above pre-pandemic levels. Employers are having a hard time finding and then needing to pay up for talent. Wage growth accelerated 4.6% year over year in September and is likely going to rise even further. And that's on top of the shortages of materials that push prices higher for manufacturers. So if you can find the materials, you can't find the people. If you can find the people, you still are having a hard time with the materials. These pressures on companies' costs could really impair profit margins if they continue to build. Consumers and businesses can afford to pay higher prices now, but at some point they're going to balk at it. So for now, strong revenue growth is overshadowing these margin pressures, but with stock values elevated, it's important that earnings come through or markets might get spooked. Let's move on to the next item, which is seasonal gains might have come early. So stocks had one of the best Octobers ever, and I mentioned that in the opening. But with the S&P 500 index up more than 6% for the first month of the historically strong fourth quarter, it could be a problem. October very well could have stolen some of the gains we usually see later in the year. The S&P 500 has historically gained 3.3% on average the final 2 months of the year. But when the S&P 500 is up more than 5% in October, that average gain drops down to 2.1% with a median of only 1.1%. So after the year we've had, I don't think anyone would have any issue with only a modest additional upside through the year end, but I think it'd be wise to temper expectations on just how much green we could have in the final 2 months. Some of the risks that we're talking about in this podcast could easily lead to another pullback, like the one stocks experienced in September, despite generally positive economics and earnings backdrops. Let's also talk about bullish sentiment. We've talked with some of you about a bullish technical setup that we see for equities in the final months of the year, and we still believe the weight of the evidence supports this. However, if there's a technical risk to watch, it's likely sentiment. The S&P 500 gained more than 6% in October, following its first 5% pullback of the year. And as the saying goes, nothing changes sentiment like price. The percent of bulls in the American Association of Individual Investors Investor Sentiment Survey more than doubled from its mid-September lows, while the VIX index, a measure of implied volatility on the S&P 500 index, is near its lowest level since before the pandemic began. So overall, we don't see any evidence that sentiment is near extreme levels quite yet, or that technical trends don't support a bullish view, but if the next few months do bring equity gains, sentiment might actually become a bit of a bigger risk. So there you have it, five things that could spook the markets. It doesn't mean that there aren't others, right?
Dude.
Evergrande or China, anyone, right? We've talked about that. But if stocks suffer any meaningful volatility in the next couple of months, we think the culprit will likely be one of those things that we listed on this list. These potential scares don't, however, sway us from our positive near-term market outlook, given prospects for a pickup in economic growth in the very near term as COVID-19 cases continue to decline. Stocks remain in a favorable seasonal period and low interest rates remain supportive. Stocks might also garner some support from a potentially smaller than expected tax increase out of Washington, D.C. So let's cover this again. Inflation, the Federal Reserve and an aggressive Federal Reserve with interest rates, pressure on profit margins, the fact that the seasonal gains we see in the fourth quarter may have all shown up at once in October, the fact that the seasonal gains we see in the fourth quarter may have already shown up here in October, bullish sentiment might tip. These are all of the things that have us on watch, you might say, as we finish out what's ultimately going to become probably a very good 2021. So if you have any questions about the things that we covered, feel free to email us at info@forwardfg.com. My name is Brian Ullman. I look forward to talking to you in the next one.
The advisors with Ford Financial Group are registered representatives with and securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice is offered through Ford Financial Group, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Stock investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this podcast may not develop as predicted. Ford Financial Group and LPL Financial do not provide tax or legal advice or services. This information is not intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security referred to herein.